Listen now for the word of God. One of the dinner guests, on hearing what Jesus said about not crowding towards the top of the table, but to take your place at the foot, said to him, "Blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." And then Jesus said to him, "Someone gave a great dinner and invited many. At the time for the dinner, he sent a slave to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I bought a piece of land. I must go out and see it. Please accept my regrets.' Another said, 'I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. Please accept my regrets.' Another said, 'I've just been married and therefore I cannot come.' And so the slave returned and reported this to the master. And then the owner of the house became angry and said to the slave, 'Go out at once into the streets and the lanes of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' And the slave said to him, 'Sir, what you ordered has been done, and there is still room.' Then the master said to the slave, 'Go out into the roads and the lanes and compel people to come in, so that my house may be made full. For I tell you, none of those who were invited will taste my dinner.'" This is God's living word for God's living people. Thanks be to God. A few years ago, a young Catholic priest finished his seminary education and was appointed to serve a church out in Loveland, Colorado. He was very excited to start his ministry, and so on his first Sunday morning, he looked out of the window of his study and was thrilled to see so many people driving into the parking lot. Cars were just lined up, back to back. "Wow," he thought, "they must really have been waiting for me. We're going to have a packed church for my first Sunday." A few minutes later, however, when he walked into the sanctuary to begin the service, he was stunned to see just a few people, maybe 15 or 20 people in the sanctuary there for the service. And he was confused, he was disappointed, and he was mystified. Where were all of those people? Literally hundreds of cars were pouring into the parking lot as worship hour approached. But where were the people? The next Sunday, the same thing happened. A lot of people were driving into the parking lot. They were getting out of their cars. They were coming around to the entranceway to the church. And he could see that they were coming in the front door. But yet, when the service started and he looked out at the sanctuary, there were just, 5, 10 people maybe in the sanctuary. There were even fewer people than the first Sunday. There were no stores. There's no restaurants. There's nothing else adjacent to that parking lot. What were happening to all those people? Then on the third Sunday, the young priest decided that he was going to solve this mystery. He was going to sit in his office. He positioned himself so he could see the very front of the church and to see what happened to those people who came in the very front door. And lo and behold, the mystery was solved. And yes, indeed, people were driving into the parking lot in large numbers. And sure enough, they were getting out of their cars. They were rushing into the front door of the church. However, instead of coming all the way into the sanctuary, they were not taking their places in the pews. They were stepping in just far enough to touch the holy water at the very front of the sanctuary to cross themselves, and then they rushed back out to their cars and went off to other pursuits. Now, that is not a problem. That is just peculiar to Roman Catholics. Methodists, Congregationalists, Presbyterians, Baptists, we don't have holy water, but we do have a lot of people who come into the church just far enough to get a little sprinkling of religion. People walk off into the shallow waters, but they'll never get all in. Then they scurry off before they really join in the party to which Jesus Christ has invited us. Does it surprise you that Jesus lived with the same problem in his time? He tells us about people who are invited to a grand, grand party, and yet they all make excuses so that they don't have to come. How strange, for these are the people that one would expect to be there. These are the respectable people, the society circle, the beautiful people of their day. These are the synagogue crowd, those who go through all the right motions, the uniquely blessed, well-respected, well-thought-of people in their world, but all alike. alike, we're told, they find excuses not to be all in. And the upshot of this insult, Jesus says, is that the master of the banquet throws open his doors to each and every last living soul in the town. That's what we hope to do here as the church, is it not? We hope to open our doors, our hearts, our minds to anyone who would come here, to every last living soul. That's what we hope to do. One of the goals of the next generation plan is for us to show radical hospitality to each and every person who is in need of God's grace. We want to throw wide open the doors of our church. And here the Master invites everyone. He tells his servant even to compel people to come in. Now, we are never going to compel people to come here to this church. We're going to invite them, but I like to think that our doors are open to each and every person. For beyond any doubt, the Spirit of God is at work within people's heart, prompting them to come. Now, one way for us to engage the truth of this parable is to realize that Jesus is always speaking to specific audiences. And here in this setting, he is speaking to the insiders. The insiders are those people who have grown up believing that they are God's favorite, God's righteous, God's chosen people. And the Master is angry as all get out at these people because they are the ones that God has blessed. He is infuriated by the complacent nature of their response. He's speaking precisely to those people who expect to be invited always to the table. And they take the privilege for granted. They no longer appreciate how special is the invitation of the Master. It's also at this very point that we need to realize that this parable is pointed at you and at me. Honestly, in our heart of hearts, do we not think that we're all shoe-ins for God's kingdom? Are we not the blessed? Are we not the uniquely blessed people? Do we not assume, perhaps complacently assume, that we always are welcome? Do we not think that our place at God's table is assured? We are the blessed, the privileged. And if that is the case, we are also the ones who Jesus warns against taking God's gracious invitation for granted. What a warning Jesus gives to the people here. God turns them out. And yet, as with many of Christ's parables of judgment, as we call them, there's also a word of grace. There's a word of blessing here for how great is God's mercy, how great is God's love, that those who feel that they are nothing are welcomed into the great banquet party of the kingdom of God. May all of us recover the joy of the invitation to come to our Lord and to come to his table. Now, the reality is that God invites all of us to his table to receive God's grace. All are welcome, insiders and outsiders alike. It simply and completely depends upon just one thing: our response. God is waiting for us to accept the invitation to come to God, to come to Christ, to come to Christ's table. God waits for our response, waits for us to accept the invitation. How we respond to the invitation to come relates directly to our understanding of our stewardship. Because we are invited to bring ourselves, not just a little bit, not just our toes or our fingers, we're invited to bring our entire complete selves into the kingdom of God. We need to be all in. We need to accept the invitation. God isn't satisfied if we sprinkle just a little water on ourselves or if we just stay at the edge of God's exciting venture of faith, or if we give only part of our heart to God when we're commanded to give all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength to God, because that's like making excuses for why we can't come to be part of the party of God. Everything depends on our joyful, willing response to God's invitation to us. And clearly, God is not pleased if we offer excuses for not bringing ourselves and our very best. For look, God has uniquely blessed you and me. God has blessed us with the invitation to come to the table that God has prepared to receive the abundant manna of God's grace, to have our lives changed, to be empowered for the good, to enjoy the fellowship of the Master. In the name of God, why would any of us ever say no to such an invitation? For God has opened the riches of God's kingdom to us. Why would we ever withhold any corner of our heart from God? Now, Jesus is always telling stories full of unexpected twists and turns. This story is no different. Like all of his stories, these parables, they hold up a mirror to us so that we can see ourselves more clearly. And once again, Jesus shows us something new. He pulls the rug out from underneath us and leaves us breathless. For it is the proud, the privileged people who expect an exclusive place at God's table always to be held for them. They're the ones who are tossed out. The people on the street without a dime to their name, the poor, the handicapped, the blind, the lame, receive an inclusive invitation and find themselves inside feasting. And God makes an inclusive invitation that all who will come. And that's the point of this parable. It's an inclusive invitation, not an exclusive one for just a few. It's an inclusive invitation that whosoever will, let them come. And those who heard him were greatly offended and enraged. Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town, Jesus said, and bring in the poor, the disabled, the blind, and the lame. Devotional writer Philip Clancy tells the story of a woman and her fiancé who went to the Hyatt Hotel in downtown Boston and planned their wedding reception. Both of them had very expensive tastes, and when they tallied up the final cost, they found it was going to be around $33,000 for their wedding reception at the Hyatt Hotel. So the hotel was reserved, the menus were chosen, contracts were signed. Shortly thereafter, the groom got cold feet. He backed out of the wedding. But there's no backing out of the Hyatt contract. It was binding. And so the woman, who 10 years earlier had spent a little bit of time in a homeless shelter, decided to use all of her savings to treat the down and out in Boston to a night on the town. She was able to change the menu for the reception to boneless chicken in honor of the groom. And she sent out invitations to the rescue missions and the homeless shelters and put up flyers on the street corners. And that night, people who are used to tearing off cold pizza from cardboard boxes dined instead on chicken cordon bleu. Hyatt waiters in tuxedos served hors d'oeuvres to them, to senior citizens who were propped up on crutches, to bag ladies and vagrants and addicts who were able to take one night off from their hard life on the sidewalks, and they sipped champagne and they danced to big band music. It was a party they always remembered. And anyone who so much as stuck their head within the reception room to see what it was with all these strange people, to see what was going on, they were invited and they were welcome because there was room for each and every one. Jesus says that the kingdom of God is going to be that kind of party. And brothers and sisters, the Lord invites you to that party. The table set before us today is meant for you, and it is meant for all. It is open to everyone, insiders and outsiders, members and visitors, old and young, sinners and saints. You are all invited to come to the table of our Lord. Only one thing is needed, just one thing. You simply need to accept the invitation that you feel within your heart this day. You've got to be all in, willing to get more than your toes and your fingertips wet. You've got to be willing to come inside where the banquet is ready and the master is waiting. For you, all of you, are welcome. The Lord invites you. Indeed, the Lord is practically begging you to come. May we pray. Gracious Lord, who invites us to come to your table, we are so very grateful that you have opened the doors that we might feast with you in your kingdom, where we are all alike before you, sinners. But as you have welcomed us here, help us to open wide the doorways of your mercy to others, so that all would come into the grand party of your kingdom. May your grace work with each of our hearts to rejoice when you invite us to come. Through Christ we pray. Amen.